It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner, and with me via Skype,
I'm Brittany Hughes. It's a beautiful day outside. Is it nice where you're at? It's nice where I'm at.
It's nice, and of course you can't travel here because you are getting ready to have a baby soon.
I am. Like I said yesterday, I've kind of got the beached whale effect at this point. So, like, rolling out of bed is starting to get tough, much less, like, getting all the way to the studio. It's unfortunate, because I love to be there with you in person, you know that, but it's just hard these days. Pregnancy is hard, man. Nobody tells you. This is hard.
Well, I remember it being hard for my wife. The fruits of the labor are well worth it.
That is what I hear. But, you know, don't bring yourself down like that, because, you know, hashtag men can get pregnant, too.
I can safely say I don't plan on getting pregnant anytime soon myself.
Well, your body, your choice, dude.
Well, it's a little more difficult. It's a little more difficult than that.
Working on it.
It might be God's choice with my body that I can't get pregnant. I'm just going to lay that out there. It may not be the politically correct thing to say, but it's really true. Sometimes truth isn't politically correct.
Now that we've talked for the first minute about Eric Shiner's body,
I could do whole shows on this.
Oh, gosh. Okay, please write us an email if you want to hear more about Eric Shiner's body. I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll let the public decide.
All right, I'm going to get online and create a whole bunch of fake accounts right now.
Oh, gosh.
But first, let's talk about, we have a lot of stuff going on with illegal aliens. You wrote a great story that actually just came out today in this regards. I wouldn't say it's a great story. It's a disturbing story that three of the five illegals charged with stabbing a 16-year-old to death in Maryland. They came here as unaccompanied minors. Give us a little bit of the details on that situation.
Yeah, so this was a really horrific story that came out of Prince George's County, Maryland, over the last few days. And unfortunately, it's not the first time we've heard something like this. Sometimes these stories actually start to run together because of their similarities. So it was another MS-13 gang murder, which are known for being particularly heinous and bloody and gruesome. And in this particular case, you had five guys who have been charged with first-degree murder in Montgomery County, Prince George's County, for allegedly stabbing a fellow gang member who was a 16-year-old high school student to death. They apparently stabbed him more than 100 times, and then they dumped his body by a road and set it on fire. So, you know, bad enough that they killed the guy, even worse when you actually look at the details. Now, Conservative Review actually reached out to immigration officials who aren't always, because of certain court orders and things dealing with minors, they can't always be very forthcoming with immigration status. But they actually revealed that all five of these guys who have been charged with first-degree murder were in the country illegally. All five are citizens of El Salvador. Three of them had been processed as unaccompanied minors and released into the United States just in the last, 3 years, since 2016. So you've got these guys coming into the United States as kids. They are minors, but they're incredibly dangerous. They're members of gangs. If they're not, then they get here, they get dumped into gang-infested areas like the suburbs of D.C., which are known for having a really strong illegal immigration presence and also a really strong MS-13 presence. They're recruited, and then you have stuff like this happen that now we have to deal with. So again, not even remotely close to the first time something like this has happened. These gruesome murders, all you have to do is do a quick Google search, and you see, particularly in this area, murders like that are occurring all the time. And in almost every single case, it turns out that these were people who shouldn't have been here in the first place.
And if they're people that you happen to refer to as MS-13 gang members as animals for stabbing somebody 100 times and lighting their body on fire, Nancy Pelosi disagrees with you greatly.
And so when the president of the United States says about undocumented immigrants, these aren't people, these are animals, you have to wonder, does he not believe in the spark of divinity, the dignity and worth of every person?
Well, they certainly took the spark of divinity out of this 16-year-old kid when they stabbed him 100 times and lit his body on fire. Again, allegedly, they have not been convicted yet. But, you know, this is one of those kind of obvious sort of situations.
This is alleged, but they're in court. They've been charged with it. They've been in charge. Yeah. We can safely say that, you know, they have been charged with stabbing this person 100 times and lighting the body on fire.
So, and again, you know, we see this over and over again. And if it, the thing that really kind of puts all of this into perspective, because the one thing, when you bring up a story like this, the one thing that Democrats like to bring up, or people that are advocates of illegal immigration like to bring up, is, oh, well, you're just cherry picking one story. All right. These are such a tiny segment of the population. And, you know, it's really not that bad. Well, first of all, let's put this into perspective here. CBP, Customs and Border Protection, is screaming at the top of their lungs right now about a massive influx of illegal alien migrants that are members of family units or are unaccompanied children coming across the border right now. That's primarily who's coming across the border. They're seeing an uptick of 430%. Over this time last year. So we actually looked at the numbers between October and January. So not counting February, not counting the month that we're in right now, between October and January alone, the government released more than 18,300 illegal alien children into the United States.
An unbelievable number.
It's incredible. And unfortunately, this is something that's been happening for a long time. Under the Obama administration, there were sometimes upwards of 53,000 a year being released to sponsors in the United States. That has not stopped under Trump. Again, not because the Trump administration hasn't tried to crack down on this, but because these are policies that courts have ordered. And until the policies change, until Congress gets in and fixes some of this stuff, or until there start to be some pushback in the courts over how these policies are being implemented at the federal level, you're going to keep seeing this revolving door. So again, one of the biggest places numerically that they're dumping these kids is in Northern Virginia and in Southern Maryland, and you're seeing an uptick in MS-13 murders in these places. So it's just going to keep happening. It's just going to keep going unless we get a handle on our immigration system.
But the Democrats really have no interest in this. I mean, we've talked about this before. There's so many on the Democratic presidential campaign trail that are, you know, they're saying abolish ICE. We're going to get into a story shortly about Kirsten Gillibrand and, you know, what she's saying now about letting them, you know, take part in the Social Security program if they're already here, which is another whole can of worms. But before we get into that, we also can find this issue impacting bus stations.
Yes.
This week in Arizona, 3 busloads. This is due to the catch and release program. Immigration officials had to release these folks that they captured, so they just dropped off 3 busloads in Arizona.
Yeah, so of course, you know, when you talk about upwards of 20,000 illegal alien kids being released into the United States in just a few months, you think, you know, what is 3 busloads? Well, this is just in one particular area, right? This is something that occurs all the time. So this is actually something that was tweeted out by a reporter named Nicole Garcia. She's with Fox 10 in Phoenix. And she took a couple of pictures outside of a Greyhound bus station. We've got the story on mrctv.org, where ICE apparently dropped off 3 busloads of migrants from Guatemala at this bus station. Some of them kind of had a plan of where they were going to go, like they were trying to get to family members that were already living in the United States, but they didn't really have a concrete plan of how to get there. They didn't have money to get there. Churches, she said, were scrambling, trying to find shelter for these people, because otherwise they were just going to end up sleeping on the streets. And again, this is not something, you know, and we got to be careful here, because what I mean by this is it's not ICE trying to be cruel. It's not ICE just dumping people. ICE has been ordered by courts that they can only keep people for a certain amount of time. That's the whole point of these catch and release policies. And they end up with maxed out immigration facilities because, again, remember, as part of the spending bill that Trump just signed, Democrats actually scaled back on the number of beds available at immigration detention facilities. So we've got maxed out facilities, swarms of people coming across the border, nowhere to put them. So ICE ends up just taking them to a bus station and saying, here's your court date, I guess, go and do and be whatever. But if they don't have a place to go, or if they don't have a way to get there, they end up stranded. So this is, again, this is one of those residual effects of a broken immigration system that's not being handled properly and is not being gotten under control.
Now, I know this is something you follow closely, but I mean, a large percentage of those that have the court date, they disappear. They don't show up. They just fade away. They're somewhere in the United States and authorities don't know where they are. I don't have the exact percentage on that off the tip of my tongue, but I remember that being a high percentage and talked about in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, and that's actually something that we need to probably follow up on again, because I haven't double checked with the Office for Executive Immigration Review lately to get the most recent numbers. I do know that it was upwards of 70-80% at one point of people not showing up to their court dates. We have a massive, massive backlog in our immigration system. So one of the things, especially when I was covering this issue a few years ago, which, you know, is basically a mirror image of what's happening now, we have this backlog in the immigration courts. So particularly unaccompanied children will show up in the courts and the judge will simply stay their deportation. He'll simply say, okay, come back in 4 years, have a nice time at school. They end up getting enrolled in public school. And of course, in 4 years, are they going to show up? Well, I guess, you know, some of them might, but who would if you've been living in the United States? And it's particularly if you've got an entire side of the political aisle pushing to let you stay, why would you go home? I mean, we see now the House Democrats are pushing an immigration bill to expand the DREAM Act to not only to allow illegal aliens who came across as children to stay, but actually to offer to bring back those who have already been deported. That's part of their bill.
You know, what might help with this a lot? I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe a wall?
I'm just saying.
At the border?
Just as a possibility. Maybe just something.
That
anything
might
at this
slow
point.
Down the illegal immigration numbers, at least. I mean, as you mentioned, 430% increase in family and child immigrants. And as we mentioned at this bus stop in Arizona, they talked to this Fox 10 reporter, talked to a father with a 14-year-old child. In this case, it's accompanied minors, I guess. But I mean, you have minors in this group.
You do. And again, we wrote another story because we cover this issue from, I mean, there are so many angles to it. And one of them is the humanitarian angle. And it's something that the left, they always want to throw out there, but they don't want to talk about in detail. Because if you do, then you get to see just how these bad policies and how catch and release in this open border policy really starts to affect people. You know, everybody lost their minds over at CPAC when Trump pointed out that mothers of illegal alien kids actually girls actually give them birth control in order to cross the border because they know that sexual assault is so prevalent that they could end up with an unwanted pregnancy. That is true. That has been well documented. It has been well documented.
But if you bring it up, you're criticized. Look what happened to President Trump. You bring these issues up and the left is all over you about it.
Absolutely. If you bring up the fact that sexual assault is occurring, that sex trafficking and human trafficking is occurring, that this is violent, they're finding dead bodies left, right, and sideways in the desert of people who don't make it. You've got people being dropped off at bus stations with nowhere to go. You've got gang members coming in and murdering people in the United States, and it becomes a mess that we have to clean up. You know, so again, you've got a humanitarian crisis. Nobody is denying that. The Democrats are right on their face when they say this is a humanitarian crisis. Absolutely it is. And you know how you get it under control is you stop it. But they have no interest in solving the problem that they keep bringing up.
No, in fact, here's an interesting one. We're going to get into this. One of the things that came up, there's a Democratic presidential hopeful that announced on Sunday that's out there saying we could provide amnesty to all illegal immigrants in the country. We could have illegal immigrants getting driver's licenses. And now they have the right to pay. And I'm going to quote, must have the right to pay into Social Security. I'm talking here about Kirsten Gillibrand, who, again, you know, she was on a campaign stop Tuesday. This is what she said.
So what will I do? I have a lot of ideas. First, we need comprehensive immigration reform. If you are in this country now, you must have the right to pay into Social Security, to pay your taxes, to pay into the local school system, and to have a pathway to citizenship.
This is their platform. This is their answer.
Well, and it's interesting, too, and I think you're going to see this over the next year and a half, 2 years, and it's going to be exhausting. I think one thing in many issues, but particularly in immigration, you're going to see the 2020 Democratic lineup of candidates try to push one another further and further left. They're going to try to out-left one another, right? So, you know, so we're going to see further pushes for incorporating illegal aliens. We're seeing that now in the House, where they're voting to uphold local ordinances that say that illegal aliens can vote in local elections. We've got, you know, calls for ICE to be completely abolished, which is absolutely ridiculous considering how many violent gang members and criminals they keep off our streets, or at least attempt to keep off our streets.
Where is the line where they have gone too far left? And, you know, it's not unusual to see in a primary candidates run to the left and they get more moderate as it comes to the general election. How far left is too far left when you're calling for the abolishment of ICE?
Well, I think we're already way too far left. And I say that not just for the, you know, the calls to abolish ICE, which is in and of itself absolutely insane and would create problems beyond our wildest imagining. I mean, we're already in a place where the left in general has accepted open borders. You have a humanitarian crisis. You have the border being swarmed. You have violence down there at the border. You have border agents saying, look, we can't handle this influx. We don't have enough beds.
Wait a minute. You're saying the border's being swarmed. I saw Jim Acosta over by a section of the wall, and, you know, he said there, you know, there was no swarming there.
He was by the one Burger King that apparently you can't see anything from, I suppose. I, however, have been to three different places at the border, and I can tell you that I stood right there on the banks of the Rio Grande and I watched them come across myself. The most recent tour that I did was down in San Diego, and it was interesting. We were actually down there with a couple of border agents who were giving us a tour, and we had to stop because the road was blocked by another border agent who was apprehending somebody who had just jumped across the wall. It's not the big wall that you see in some of the pictures. There's like a smaller section of wall out towards the mountains that's actually easier to get across. You know, but again, when you see things like that, when you have this kind of violence, this kind of body count, when you have criminal aliens coming into the United States, you have sex trafficking, and the left doesn't want to address it, I think we've already gone too far left. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out with the voters. I don't think that is what the majority of Americans want. I don't think that they want. I actually saw a poll the other day that was upwards of, it was the New York poll where they polled New Yorkers about their favorability on certain subjects. Over 60% of New Yorkers said that they were not in favor of giving illegal aliens driver's license. I don't think this is something that the vast majority of Americans want.
But I guess the question one has to ask themselves with the bias in liberal media is, are the candidates simply, are their constituents the media? And they know if they say these things, they will get more media coverage. And is it a question of outlefting each other to get the attention of the media? Has the media become the constituency?
Well, I think it's a competition to outleft one another. It's a competition to try to present yourself as the most anti-Trump candidate that you can, which I think is a potential mistake. You've got to consider, this is the same Kirsten Gillibrand that gave a whole lot of lip service to the idea of protecting women against sexual harassment, but didn't even take basic measures to do so in her own office. So what she says and what she does in practice appear to be two different things. We'll have to see. Again, unfortunately, we're in this place in our society now where one campaign ends and the next one automatically begins. So we've got kind of a decently long and exhaustive road to the 2020 election. So we'll have to see how this plays out. But I do think that if they're trying to balance what tickles the media's ears and what gets them more spotlight and what gets them more microphone time versus what the American people actually want, I think not only is that a dangerous game to play, but I think it's a sad state of affairs when it's better to pander to the media than to actually consider your constituents and what they want from you as a public servant. So I think that's something that Americans should consider across the board, whether you're talking about a Democrat or a Republican. Is somebody that's going to actually represent your views and not just do whatever it takes to get the most viral video on Twitter.
And speaking of Twitter, you know, we talked about the left pandering to the media for attention. there's a lot of conservatives that have said that social media restricts their ability to get their message out and the things that they have to say. And now we have this really interesting lawsuit. It's almost Austin Powers-esque for $250 million in damages. That seems rather high, but this is election-related. This is Representative Devin Nunes of California. He's suing Twitter and a couple of their users for $250 million in damages. He's basically saying he was shadow banned in the summer during his campaign, and his message wasn't getting out, but these fake accounts that were condemning, criticizing, and slandering him were allowed to keep on tweeting.
How is it possible that I can be attacked relentlessly hundreds of times a day by fake accounts that they claim in their terms of service should not be there? This is more than just conservatives. Every American should care about this.
Yeah, the details of this story are actually kind of funny and somewhat ridiculous on their face, just in terms of, you know, there was one account that called itself Devin Nunes' mom and was tweeting all kinds of.
All right, wait, that one is good, but Devin Nunes' cow.
Devin Nunes' cow.
Was a better one. There was Devin Nunes' mom, but, I guess he has a cow. The main thing is hopefully is his cow isn't emitting any greenhouse gases. Hopefully those are getting
cast. Well, if he's a farting cow, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know, but some of these tweets were ridiculous. But again, I think that the crux of the matter here is that somebody is taking it to Twitter. Somebody's taking it to Twitter and saying, okay, look, you know, you don't allow this kind of speech and that kind of speech. You don't allow prominent conservative viewpoints. You shadow ban people. You take people down. You're not very forthcoming with your policies and you're not transparent in your decision making. So look, I'm gonna come after you for this. And, you know, I think one of the things that many people on the right have been hoping for is, look, if you're going to bring a lawsuit against one of these social media giants, be it Twitter or YouTube or Facebook, one of the things that people want is, regardless of whether you win what you're going for or not, it could potentially force the platforms, in an effort to have to defend themselves, to come out with their policies, to come out with how they make these decisions, because that's been one of the murkiest, grayest areas in social media.
Some transparency would be nice. Over at the MRC, we obviously have a whole panel of organizations that are looking into social media and looking at it. And one of their big demands is, well, what are the requirements? I mean, it's kept very quiet how you decide this. If there was some transparency so we knew everything was going fair on both sides, that would really alleviate a lot of the questions that people have. And people are getting more and more suspicious of social media restricting what people say.
And look, I'm not saying that a liberal has never been banned or kicked off of Twitter or Facebook or any of these other platforms, but it does seem to be skewed, particularly when you start to look at your ability to reach people. I mean, we've seen this here with MRC TV on Facebook. Their algorithm is consistently changing, which is their right to do. Look, if they want to change their algorithm. But when you start to see view counts going up or down, or you start to see, you know, there are certain blogs that have certain words in the headline and they don't seem to do as well as others, you start to wonder, okay, this used to do well. I know that it's a topic that our readers are interested in, but now all of a sudden it's bombing. Why is that? And so again, there just seems to be questions of if this is censorship and if this is being deliberately taken down, who are the decision makers? How are they making these decisions? And who are the ones that are getting throttled by it? Because you've got, unfortunately, we're in a place now where social media is where so many publishers not only get across their content, but make their money.
And we'll have to see how this suit plays out, but it will be interesting to watch how this one plays out. We're almost out of time, but before we go, sometimes you don't have to worry about the Twitter police cracking down on you. Sometimes your posts on Twitter can just be so darn conservative that the real police get involved. This one not happening in our country, but this is a interesting story that you found coming from across the pond, as we say.
Oh my goodness. Great Britain has just lost their minds. I don't know what's going on over there, seriously. So, first of all, when you're talking about Great Britain, just an FYI, apparently the number of teens getting stabbed to death is, like, skyrocketing. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Don't they want to put, like, microchips on knives or something?
They do. They want to put, you know, some calling for... Yeah, some are even calling for GPS trackers on knives to try to stop stabbings because, you know, it's worked so well to take everybody's guns away. Now you've got people getting stabbed all over the place. But apparently that's not enough to keep the police busy, because now they're going after a Christian journalist for supposedly misgendering someone on Twitter. This is an actual crime in the UK that could net you jail time.
All right, tell us what the tweet said that was just so darn offensive.
Well, so here's the thing, is we're actually, and I haven't, I'd have to go back and really, really dig, because I'm not seeing the tweet that's supposedly offensive. So the journalist's name is Caroline Farrow. Okay, she's a Catholic journalist. And she appeared on Good Morning Britain about 5 months ago, back in September, with the mother of a transgender daughter, so a boy who thinks he's a girl. And they were debating basically the it's called the Girl Guides. I guess it's like the British version of the Girl Scouts. And they had changed some of their rules allowing transgender kids to be included in their ranks and blah, blah, blah. So they were on this show debating. And apparently Farrow, in both the interview and in some subsequent tweets that she issued afterwards, misgendered this woman, Susie Green's quote-unquote daughter, and used male pronouns to describe him, which he is a him. He just thinks that he is a she.
Biologically, yes, yeah, absolutely. So technically she's correct, but not correct enough for Twitter.
Well, she's not politically correct, which is totally different.
Right, so the police need to get involved.
Yeah, so now, of course, Green issued a complaint. She told the police about it. Now the police are coming after Farrow. Now this is according to Farrow, okay? She issued kind of this tweet storm going off about this. The police have confirmed that they're looking into it. Farrow says she was contacted by the police who told her that she had been accused of misgendering somebody, that they would arrest her if she did not submit to an interview about the tweets. Farrow is saying she doesn't even remember what she tweeted that was apparently so offensive, but that the police are now coming after her, telling her that she may have committed a crime. So now we've got an investigation into a woman simply for calling a boy a boy.
So, you know, if you go out on Twitter and you state the belief that people can't change their biological sex, and you refer to them by the sex that they are biologically, watch out, misgendering trans people.
Especially in the UK. You will get kicked off of Twitter from what they have said about their rules, but at least they don't put you in jail. Apparently, British police do, though.
In this case, I'll give her credit. At least Twitter didn't seem to kick her off, but she can't even remember the tweets other than being offensive. All right, we are out of time already. We burned through everything. Thank you for being with us for the MRCTV podcast. Be sure to download us on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify and all those other fun places where you can find us. Until then, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see you guys next time.